overcoming evil with good. I don't know about you, but as I see the news at the moment, there is so much evil going on in our world, isn't there? And I don't know, I can't help wondering, how would I cope if I was in the middle of that situation? If I was threatened by IS militants, or if I was in Gaza and my house was bombed and flattened and turned into rubble and dust? I'm in awe of those Christians who stand for Christ in the face of death threats, or those who endure suffering and torture but still refuse to renounce Jesus. What can we do? What can we do? Well, we can pray, clearly. We know that. We can make donations. We had a letter from the bishops this week encouraging us to go to the website Pray, Act, Give, which is a website encouraging Christians just to do that, to pray, to act, and to give money. Maybe contact your MP. There are things that we can do, aren't there? Do something a bit more personal as well. We can learn virtue. We can train ourselves as individuals to be more Christ-like in our daily lives. That reading from Romans says, "Do not be conformed to this world, the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Our task as Christians is to become more like Christ. It isn't just a one-off commitment, but it's an ongoing task of learning to be how God wants us to be, to follow Jesus in our day-to-day lives. I came across a little strategy recently from an American psychologist from Harvard, Richard Weisbord. And he runs a project to teach kids how to be kind. Now, you might think, well, that's a mug's game, isn't it? Children are kind already, aren't they? Or perhaps you might think parents are already teaching their children how to be kind. Actually, he discovered that's not true. According to his research, 80% of children said their parents were more concerned with what they achieved than with them being kind, more concerned with their children's happiness than with whether they cared for others. One child said, "My parents are prouder if I get good marks than if I'm caring in class." So he came up with some recommendations how to raise children to become caring, respectful, and responsible adults. Why is it important? Well, because if we want our children to be those kind of people, then we have to train them and teach them and raise them that way. He says, "Children are not born simply good or bad, and we should never give up on them. They need adults who will help them to become caring, respectful, and responsible for their communities at every stage of their childhood." And I thought, whisper it quietly, I thought, actually, this applies to grown-ups too. Naming no names, but I think probably each of us could learn a little bit how to be caring and kind. So I've got a little handout that my lovely assistant is going to hand out. Have we got enough there? We printed off lots more. They're probably still sitting in the printer, aren't they? Got them all. Okay, lovely. Good, good, good. Okay, that's kind. Thank you, Helen. And what he's put down here are five broad strategies for raising caring and kind children, or perhaps even adults. And in each of those strategies, there's three little hints and tips of ways that we could do that. And the first one, while these are being handed out, the first one is make caring for others a priority. Make it a priority. In other words, for example, don't say, the most important thing, dear, is that you're happy. Don't say that. Say instead, the most important thing is that you're caring and kind to others. Or another example, something you could do, is make sure children always address other people respectfully. Even, here's the tough bit, when you're tired or distracted or angry. It's very tempting, isn't it? I do this occasionally. It's very tempting to snap back, isn't it? Just hold it. Make sure you're caring and kind. Or indeed, when you, as a grown-up, as a parent or a grandparent or whatever, when you interact with other adults, set a good example. Ask teachers, for example, not is my child top of the class, but ask them, is my child caring and thoughtful in school? So that's one strategy, is put caring up the top of the priorities. Second one is actually practice caring and gratitude. For example, I know some parents give their child a little reward every time they say thank you or say please or do some washing up or put some washing in the basket or whatever. That's actually a mistake, because we should be expecting that is the normal way of behaving, to be caring and kind, to clear the dinner table, to look after brothers and sisters and so on. Secondly, we can talk about those acts, perhaps the ones we see on television or read about in the papers. Talk about why it's good to be caring and to be kind. Talk about acts of justice or injustice you see in the news. Do you remember our sort of title for today, Overcoming Evil with Good? Jesus says that even sinners, even folk who are not Christians, not Jews, folk who know, even they return good with good and return bad with bad. That's not rocket science. What is rocket science is returning good when evil is done to you, overcoming evil, not with more evil, but with good. And thirdly, it says, make gratitude a daily ritual of the house, at dinner time, bedtime, in the car, whatever it may be. Count your blessings, people used to say, didn't they? Name them one by one. Isn't it a good thing to be thankful, to be grateful? Not only does it oil the wheels of relationships, but it also reminds us of all the good things that we've been blessed with. So thank people. I don't know if you find this. I find sometimes when I thank people, they're almost shocked today. It's, whoa, goodness me. Especially when you're in a car behind a windscreen. You know, thank people and they, good, you know, are you going to attack me? What? They don't quite understand. It's so rare. Let's do it. Let's express caring and gratitude. Third one he suggests, third strategy, is to expand our circle of concern. We all have a few folk, don't we, that we love and get on with and know well in our family, close family, and so on, close friends. Try and expand that circle a little bit. Almost all of us are quite good at dealing with a few people. Why not talk to and encourage children to talk to those that they meet from day to day, perhaps the new child in class or the new neighbour who's just moved in, the person who feels a bit out of it all, perhaps even the bus driver or the school caretaker or whatever, somebody who feels a little bit out of it. Expand the circle of concern. And the second one, he says, care for the vulnerable. And he talks about stepping into the caring and courage zone. I like that phrase. Because sometimes If a child goes to befriend the child on the edge of the playground, it takes courage. You're stepping away from the in crowd. Or if we stand up for those who are poor in our society, sometimes it makes you unpopular. If you stand up for the person who's in danger of being sacked, it's difficult sometimes to handle the consequences. It's a caring and courage zone. So expand your circle of concern. And thirdly, talk about the stories in the newspapers and the television. Think about hardships. For example, what must it be like to live in Syria at the moment? What must it be like to be a child going to school in Nigeria, knowing that all those girls have been kidnapped? These days, we have connections, don't we, across the world. We can so easily send a message to people in Australia, or indeed people in Iraq, people who are suffering. Let's expand the circle of concern. Fourthly, be a role model. It's not easy, is it? Because we're always very aware of our own failings. But we need to model what it's like to be kind and caring, to return evil with good. We need to show children and indeed other adults how to do that. Maybe to look after somebody, a neighbour who's in need, and even take children along with us to mow somebody's grass for them if they can't do it themselves. Again, talk about these things over meals or indeed in the evening at bedtime or whatever. There are plenty of ethical dilemmas in our world today, aren't there? Plenty of knotty problems that people are wrestling with and that we can perhaps see both sides of. Let's talk about them with one another. Model what it means to be kind and caring. And indeed point out people who are good examples of that. Point out those in the news, perhaps, who've demonstrated these Christ-like qualities. And the last one, I think the most pointed one in a way, is how to manage our destructive feelings, our negative feelings. How do we cope when we're really feeling that we want to thump something? I think it's quite good to teach some sort of system, some sort of process. He suggests this one. Teach your kids to calm down by doing this. Ask your child to stop, take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, and count to five. Just practice that when you're calm, and then the next time the red mist descends, then say, let's have a go at that little trick that we practiced. And count to five. And do it perhaps together. Say, now come on, let's get a grip on this. Second one, I found when I was a teenager, it was really helpful to me to have a safe place to go when I was angry. I had a large pillow on my bed, and that pillow took some punishment. I thumped it and whacked it, and instead of doing that to anybody else. Or indeed, we had in our garden a tree that had been cut down and it had been sawn into logs, and the logs needed splitting. And in those days, I was actually trusted with an axe. Health and safety, I know, be careful. But it was so good to smack these logs and see them split in half. And it really, when I felt I needed to work out something, then I could go and split some logs for the fire. And that was good for me. Have a safe place to go. Maybe a room or a place where you can go and have it out. Maybe a good soundproof room where you can go and have a good scream. Why not? These are good things, aren't they? Or when our children were teenagers, we actually had a little picture of a traffic light on the loo door, actually. And we used to say, well, here's something you can do. The red light means stop. pause, count to 10. The amber light means think of the possible things you could do. Think of three possible ways that you could respond. Maybe think of what might happen if you did each of those three. And then the green light means choose one of them and do it. Choose the best one and do it. Have a little strategy to manage destructive feelings. Give it a go. I think those are five quite helpful ways of learning to be caring and to be kind. And maybe we can think of ones that we like as adults. I've even put tick boxes by them. So if you want to, you can go down the list and say, oh, I like that one. I like that one. I'm going to try that one tomorrow. My wife knows that occasionally I get grumpy and impatient. So I shall try some of these the next time I feel like snapping back. But I think these are important for us, particularly as Christians, because, as Christopher said, we face all sorts of challenges in our daily lives, however small we are, however big we are. And sometimes people think being a Christian is just a one-off commitment. Job done, I'm saved. Or sometimes they think that it's like the icing on the cake of being a sort of British person, it's just nice thoughts on Sundays. I think it's much, much more than that. I think part of the business of being a Christian is training in righteousness. In other words, becoming more like Jesus. When we read our Gospels, Jesus cared for others. And he did it even when he was in pain. He did it even when he was tired. He did it even when provoked sorely. We need to learn to be more like Christ, to follow Jesus. And I think these are some of the little strategies, little tips that we can use. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and listen to what God is saying to us today. Lord, speak. Speak to us, your people, and help us to learn and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.